Thank you very much, Martin, for the introduction. So, a very good morning to everyone. My name is Elfie, and today I'm going to present to you our work on visualization for text alignment, or in short, VITA. This work was part of the Digging into Data Challenge GIS NNH Program 3. The team comprises of visualization scientists and humanities scholars that work in the field of literary studies, intellectual history, and digital humanities. We are distributed across three different continents of UK, US, and Australia. In our work, we apply a novel visual analytics approach for identifying common places in 18th century literary and print culture. Now, you may ask, what is a commonplace? A commonplace is a thematic organization of quotation and other similar passages for later recall and reuse. In other words, two similar sequences in different contexts are potentially commonplaces. For example, here, in these two pieces of text, there are two commonplaces. One that is shown in red, and another that is shown in blue, where the text may have been repeated or copied. Our work was conducted in the context of 18th century literary and print culture. The 18th century can be seen as one of the last in a long line of commonplace cultures, extending from antiquity to the Renaissance and early modern periods, where commonplaces tend to show the social network during that century. In other words, commonplaces are likely to indicate who likes who during the 18th century, where if they like each other more, then they tend to copy more from each other. In our work, the example texts that we use are from the ATFL French text database of 18th century French literature located at the University of Chicago, as well as the ECHO 18th century collection online database. The requirements analysis of our project is as follows. Our domain experts have experiences in using automated methods such as machine learned models, for example, Philologic and Philoline, to detect commonplaces in collected texts. However, this method gives them bad results containing high level of false positive and false negative because of issues such as the difference in genre, for example, poems, letters, and fictions, or difference in topics such as war and love, or where the authors copied from each other but only changing verbs but not changing the function words, as well as some OCR errors. Therefore, after a discussion among the team, we decided to bring back humans into the loop and adopt a visual analytic approach to solve the problem. Now, the project was a one-year project that started in April 2014. We began with a brainstorming meeting in May to understand what are the research problems that we need to solve. After the brainstorming meeting, we set up a face-to-face meeting where the Chicago team visited Oxford for a user-centric design discussion. After the user-centric design meeting, the Oxford team started building the web-based tool ready for the first evaluation in October. After the evaluation, we carry out further development of the tool, taking into account the feedbacks that we received from our collaborators. Using the tool, we managed to submit to journals and conferences such as the DH Conference and Computer Graphics Forum. Besides the domain experts, we also have held a workshop in Oxford with a number of humanities scholars to test out the usability of our application. Now, to fully understand, Now, to fully understand how we came up with the design of the software, let us go back to the time when the Chicago team came to Oxford for a meeting for the user-centric design meeting. The user-centric design meeting was an intense 3-day meeting where we discussed a number of items such as what do the domain experts need and what do they want. We also tried to understand what are the limitations of the proposed application so that at the end of the project, we are able to build a product that fulfills the requirement that has been set up by our domain experts. To build our constructive visual analytic tools, we have to understand what a text is, where in our tool, we have defined a piece of text, just an ordered sequence of words. Here, we let text to be an ordered set of word elements. To compare two texts, we take TA and TB, and we apply a similarity matrix M to all pair of words elements in both TA and TB, where the matrix M returns a value to indicate the level of similarity. To find out more about the mathematics behind our system, I'm going to refer you to our paper in Computer Graphics Forum. So this is the only maths that you would see throughout this presentation. So using the similarity matrix that we have generated, we are able to draw a bar Python graph where here we can show the similarity between the two texts using the connected lines. An alternative way to show the similarity between the two texts is through a dot plot representation, where the source text is located at the top and the target text is located at the side, where later I will show you how we use this as an image processing approach to detect text similarity. You may ask, why do we include two types of visualization in our implementation? First, we use dot plots as because they do not suffer from any occlusion problem and cluttering issue, and it is more likely successful to scale than bar Python graph in terms of space utilization. However, showing a text in a dot plot is not as intuitive as displaying them along the two lines in the bar Python graph. Therefore, these two visual representations are used as they complement each other. Now, using the dot plot, we can easily recognize if there is a perfect alignment between two sample texts, where, for example, here, the top right, where there's a direct copy between the two texts, or when there is not a perfect copy between the two texts, for example, here, where there's a text deletion, or here, where there's a text insertion, or here, as well as when there's text swapping between the two texts. Now, you may ask, how do we actually read the dot plot products in the implementation that I'm going to show you later? In our dot plot, we lay the source text along the horizontal axis, that is the x-axis, and we put the target text along the vertical axis, that is the y-axis. For every piece of text that are similar to each other, both in the source and target text, we will place a dot at the intersection point. For example here, where both the source text, which is A, B, C, D, and the target text, which is also A, B, C, D, are a perfect copy from each other, giving us a perfect alignment. So for every piece of text that are similar, we would place a dot to indicate the similarity, therefore giving us a cascading staircase effect. However, if a piece of text has been deleted in the target text, for example here, you could see that C has been deleted, in our dot plot, you would notice that there is a gap between the two paths. Similarly, if there's a text that has been inserted in the target text, you would see that there's a gap between the connected dots further along in the vertical axis. Now, if there's a tag swapping between the source tags and the target tags, you can see that there's some staircase patterns, but they have been divided into different groupings. Now, if we were to go back early on to our dot plot earlier, we could almost easily recognize that this is a perfect alignment where everything is connected together between the target tags and the source tags, or when a tag has been inserted where you could see there's a gap in between, or a tag has been deleted in the target tags, you could see as well the gap there, as well as if there's a copy between the source and the target tags, you could see there's a swapping when you could see there's patterns, but they are like in different groupings. So later on, when I show you how we actually use this in image processing, you could almost see immediately which tags have been copied or not. In some domains of tags analysis, the term tags alignment has been used for detecting similarity between or among tags. Dot plots are pixel-based visual representation for sequence comparison that is more widely used in bioinformatics than in text analysis. In our work, we use dot plots to show the intermediate and final results of a detection model known as images. Later in this talk, I'm going to show you how these images are used as the intermediate steps in our detection model. Now, let us go back to our user-centric design meeting. In our user-centric design meeting, we propose a set of tools to our domain experts. We also discuss the definition and terminologies of each of these tools. Due to the time constraint of the project, we have ranked each of these tools, assigning which tools are the basic tools that needed to be implemented, which we have marked with B, and which tools are highly desirable tools that will be implemented later on if there is time. We have also renamed some of the tools category, such as linguistic processing, where we have renamed it to language processing, as well as image processing to visual processing, as these namings are more suitable to our domain experts' definition and terminologies. In total, we have proposed 38 tools and have successfully implemented 41 tools in our application. Besides the proposed tool, we also discussed the design of the interface and each of the pictogram that are to be used in the tools, so that they would each have a symbolic meaning to allow for external memorization and recall later when the domain experts are using these tools. In the user-centric meeting, we also agreed on the methods of the flow design as well as the different representation that would be used as the resulting images. In visualization, there are four levels of visualization. The first level of visualization is the dissemination level. For example, visualization is used as a tool to help us to deliver a set of messages to an audience, like what I'm doing right now, and hopefully, by the end of this presentation, everyone, or almost everyone in this room, would have gained new information or insight. The second level of visualization is the operational level, where visualization is used as a tool to enable us to intuitively and quickly make an observation of our captured data, either by confirming our hypothesis or allow us to detect any anomalies in our data. The third level of visualization is the analytical level, where visualization is a tool that allows us to examine and understand the relationship in our data, such as correlation, causality, and or contradiction. The fourth level of visualization is the model development level, where we use visualization as a developmental tool to help us not to only improve existing models and algorithms, but also allow us to create new ones. So most of us would have seen first level visualization or have done first level visualization. And some of us may have also experienced second level of visualization, that is visualization that is used as a tool to help us confirm our observation, such as the poetry visualization that's between Oxford and Utah, where visualization tool was developed to support close reading using multivariate visualization. For example, here, there are six different types of text that are being visualized, starting from the top, which is a free verse poem, a sonnet, a nursery rhyme, a novel, a political manifesto, and a scientific paper. For each piece of the text, we have extracted the 26 attributes that can be found in them and visualized them either using text, colors, or symbol, and etc. This visualization helps the poetry scholars to confirm their hypothesis by visualizing the various sonic relationship and changes as they occur in a poem over time. We call this example of visualization as the second level of visualization. So in our work, Vita, we use the fourth level of visualization, where we have developed a visualization tool that allows scholars to construct new and existing models and methods to help answer their research question. Now, let us see how we construct our text alignment model. So, when we actually start building this tool, we start asking ourselves, what is a space of detection model? Or how do we define a space of detection model? So, for each corpus of documents you have, you can construct or build a collection of methods or rules that can be applied to the corpus. For each of the methods that can be constructed, you can tailor it to suit your individual research question using the two components and your parameters. These methods are then applied to two of the documents, allowing you to observe the alignments that have been identified by the methods, as well as also it allows you to see the impact of varying each of its tools component and their parameters. Now, to help us to understand our space of detection models, we have created VITA, which stands for Visualization for Text Alignment. So the URL is here if people are interested to see it while I actually give the presentation. So you could actually see how the tools actually work in process. So our constructive text alignment framework consists of methods and tools, where a method can consist of a set of tools that can be made up of a combination of word matching, language processing, visual processing, and/or operator tool. As previously mentioned, there are 41 tools available. Each tool that is created here is a function that operates on input similarity matrices and outputs a similarity matrix as a result. As each of the similarity matrix is equivalent to a grayscale image, these tools or functions are similar to filters in image processing. So I believe you guys will be covering some sort of image processing later on today. Am I correct, Pip?
The people on the introduction strand.
Yes, the people on the introduction strand. So the editor container of Vita is divided into three parts. First is the tool panel that holds the selection of tools that are available. In Vita, we have purposely designed multiple tools for different variation in order to minimize the number of parameters in each of these tools. We found that users in the arts and humanities are more accustomed to choosing the appropriate tool than customizing a generic tool. To help with the memorization of each function in the tool, we have created a locological link to relate the types of tools to the colors. For example, if you see N, we use the color magenta to use matching magenta, and orange as the operator tool. So if you see here, you could actually you see where it says this is a matching tool. So it says it match. So here it match any words. So any words represent an n-gram. Or here it says match any words where the order doesn't matter. And here where it says violet is a visual processing tool, and it's a diagonal grow tool. So I'm going to cover some of these tools later on, how you can actually use them. So to find the full description of each of these tools, please refer to our paper in the Computer Graphics Forum. The second panel in the editor container is the grid layout panel. The layout panel is a grid of 3x3 of rows and columns, where the ordering of the grid layout grid panel begins at the top left corner, where the first row can only contain word matching, language processing, and visual processing tool. Once a tool has been placed, it cannot be repositioned. And the only way to reposition this tool is to delete it or recreate a new one. So each of these tools are linked to each other to create a method using the connectors. This design was chosen as it allows us to display both the models and visualization results side by side. So the third panel is the editor. The third panel in the editor container is the attribute panel, where you could vary the parameters for each individual tool. For example, here, this attribute panel represents the matching any words. So basically, it is an n-gram tool. So to use this tool, you just specify what the numbers that you want. So if you want a trigram, you add one here and you add one there. And basically, that's basically creating a trigram for your model. As briefly mentioned earlier, each of the tools that are placed in the grid layout panel are connected to form a method using the connectors, which is underneath them by the checkboxes. These checkboxes are on and off switches to indicate the connection between each tool. And a tool can take three input matrices as well as outputs into three different matrices. So the first output connector would always be connected to the first input connection. The second one would always be connected to the second input connection. And the third one would always be connected to the third input connection. All tools can only take one input connection, except the operator tools, which can take multiples input because they are combinators operators, such as the union operation. All tools can have multiple output connection, but a valid layout for a method is where the last filled column row contains only a single tool. For example, here, this is not a valid connection because there's nothing to connect them, whereas this is a valid connection because you could see all of them outputting into a single result. Here is a valid one where it's all joined up together, and then we apply a union operation, we apply a word length operation, and we inverted the result. Here is an invalid one, as there's no one output result. Now, to correct the previous invalid method, you can just simply add an operator tool to combine the output similarity matrix. So in Vita, users can either select a pre-existing text in the system or copy and paste their own text into the text box. Users can create their own method by simply clicking on the editor and just simply drag and drop a tool and join them. To execute the method that they created, they simply just need to press run. So you add them, you click, and you could change the parameters, and you click run to run them. So basically, this would detect any similarity tags that you could see between the two input tags. To highlight any similar tags, users can simply click on the pixel in the dot plot, and it would be highlighted on the PyPython graph, and the tags would also be shown. So a number of features that we have implemented in Vita is that you can download the method that you have created, and you can actually save them and email it to your friends or to your other group members. If you're working, for example, if you're working in a corpus and then each of you is looking at the different types of methods you could use, and you can upload the methods that you have saved back to the system. The other thing that we also have implemented is that there is a function of saving the generated images in the dot plots and the downloading of the matching text alignment. So these features can be found on the top right corner of the main visual display. Now that we have built the software, the next logical thing is to carry out an evaluation of the software with the domain experts, which was carried out in October. It was an intense 3-day evaluation session where modifications were made according to the feedback that was given to us, such as the ability to enter your own text, as well as new tools being added to the application. Now, I'm going to go to two examples of how we actually use Vita to actually create, to detect text alignment. So during the evaluation, our domain expert tested the software and began to notice the importance of function words in detecting similarity between two sample texts. So typically, our domain experts would remove all function words before applying any similar metrics. So this is the result that we get by running an ngram and removing the function words. However, so using the dot plot, our domain expert discovered a common place that the previous automatic methods failed to detect. So basically, this is showing them a false negative result of what would happen if you do an ngram and you actually remove the function words. Our domain expert quickly hypothesized that the removal of all function words might have caused other false negative. With their knowledge of the literature, the domain experts quickly gave us example, few other examples that illustrate this phenomena. So more discussion about this can be found in our DH conference paper. So our domain experts began to experiment in including the function words. So if you see before, where we actually have less matching. So now, if you do a matching word including the function words, they found that it removes the false negative that they were getting and began to notice the similarity between the two texts in comparison with before. So our domain experts started building a pipeline to combine the text using the visual processing tool, which is a horizontal field to connect the two separate texts. So basically, a horizontal field is a visual processing tool that allows us to connect the line segments that have horizontal gaps between them. And to further highlight the similar text, the domain expert then used one of the tools in the visual processing tool called unclutter, where we are able to remove the noise in the image presented to us with the combined text to indicate the similar text altogether. So you could see this as a debugging tool, where so first, you see, if I use an ngram with a function word, this is the result that I get. And you notice that these are texts that are similar. And then it says, okay, now to help us to detect more, so how do we actually join the gap? So we add another tool called the horizontal tool to actually fill in the gap. Then we solve this. Okay, we fill in the gap. We can see the text, they are similar. So how do we actually remove the noise in there? So what we did is that, so our domain expert applied an uncluttered tool that remove all the noises. So you can see here, these are the two texts, and you could see the red and the blue, which are the copied text. And you could see by using this pipeline, you can automatically extract the text that are similar. To further highlight what the tags are, we can just simply reapply the tool of any word without the function words, giving us the final image at the bottom. So you can see these are the tags that are similar, highlighting furthermore. So you can use this as a debugging tool, a step by step of what the process is. Now, I'm going to show you one more example. So these two pieces of text, so example where PhiloLine, where an example that PhiloLine found difficult to process. So basically, these are two pieces of text, and you can see the red and the blue text are texts that have similar to each other. But it is very difficult at a glance or using an automated tool to extract the lines, to extract the similar text. So if we were to apply and try grind matching operation to the two previous sample texts, we would get this following image. So this is basically the image, and this is just a zooming version. From the image, we can observe that there is a diagonal line pattern among the many short lines. So you can see here, there's a sort of a text similarity there. One way that may be used to differentiate this false positive, that is the short line, and the true positive is that the true positive in this case contains relatively long words. To help us solve this problem, we start to introduce a second pipeline to our method. So in our second pipeline, we use a unigram alignment tool to try detect the matching words. So we first did a unigram. The output of the unigram alignment is then piped into the language processing tool, which is then which called WordLang to select all matches with six or more letters in a word. We then apply the darkening tool to a value or greater to 0.4, which applied at the end of the pipeline. So the image at the bottom shows the overall results, and the image at the top shows a zoom-in version of the resulting image. We can see here that the result gives us some of the connected words, but not the overall, but not all. To further connect the common places, we then apply five repeated steps to morphological operators dilation to these dots, giving us the image here. So you could see here that it's connecting all the lines together. The diagonal growth tool allows us to expand the alignment patterns diagonally to extend the influence of the match long words. Now, if we take the first pipeline and the second pipeline that we have created, using the operator tool, such as parse, where basically it parsing the result without changing it, and then using the intersection tools, if we see the two images, the combined image would give us the result. At the end. So if you remember here, this is originally our trigram. Then we added a unigram. Then we actually grow it by diagonally. And then we apply an intersection. So we say we take this and this, and we take an intersection. And then the final result is the result that we got the column at the end. So this is actually giving us the text similarity that shows in between the two texts. So finally, to test the usability of our software, we had held an evaluation workshop with a number of humanities scholars in Oxford. We invited humanities scholars that are experts in French and English literature. The workshop consisted of 30 minutes introduction and 60 minutes of hands-on experience and 30 minutes of feedback, discussion and feedback. In the workshop, we found that it didn't take long for the scholars to understand the two visual representations and common patterns shown in the dot plots. With our help, soon the scholars began to build their own methods. The workshop was useful not only to the humanities scholars, but also to the computer scientists that is involved, as it allows us to collect feedback and identify a number of aspects for future development. At the end of the workshop, we told our participants, so basically, if you go and try Vita, at the end of this, when you do it, you're actually building your own program, your own method to test out your own hypotheses. And basically, at the end of this, most of our humanities scholars can call themselves programmers because they actually have built their own program. So, in summary, in conclusion, automated machine learning does not always work well. So visual analytics is not for replacing automated detection, although it did replace machine learning. Instead, the visual programming language helps humanities scholars to construct new models and methods to test out their hypotheses. And visualization helps us to test out the model as well as debug their models and methods. So, computer scientists do not always have the semantic knowledge to build stuff, to construct application. And humanities scholars do not always have the technical skill to build it. So, we have to work together between computer scientists and humanities scholars to build a visual analytic tools to help humanities scholars to construct models using a user-centered design process. Thank you.